to just talk to you about one word this morning, extraordinary. Extraordinary. I'm probably going to say it two different ways because sometimes I don't know whether it's extraordinary or extraordinary. So just try to bear with me this morning. But I believe that God's wanting to do some, excuse me just for a moment. Isn't that gross? I don't know whether to cough it up or swallow it. What'd you say, Becky? Yeah. You don't want me to preach with a cough drop. Front row will get a taste of it. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him, unto the Lord, who is able, shout able. May I add a word to that? And willing. He's not only able, but he's willing. If I had $100,000 in my checking account, and I come to you and I said, I am able to cut you a check for $25,000 today, that wouldn't mean much unless I was willing. Huh? There's a big difference if I'm able, but if I'm able and willing, you got it in your hand, right? He is able and willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to what? You see, there's the hook. It's according to the power that's working in you. Listen, you can't claim the first part of that verse if you don't have the power of God's word working in you. Working. David Ingalls wrote a song long time ago. The word is working mightily in me. Hello. How many knows that if I'm going to talk about extraordinary today, I've got to talk about God. Because God is an extraordinary God. Amen. God's never been restricted by ordinary circumstances. He's never been restricted by ordinary people. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move beyond ordinary, aren't you? Ordinary expectations. Some of our expectations are so low, and it's an insult to God that your expectations to a God that can do anything above all that we ask or think, and our expectations are small. Thank you for those two yeahs. Listen, we're about to step into 2026. Now, this is not my New Year's message. In fact, Darlene's going to be speaking. I asked her to speak the New Year's message because she's got a word that's going to fit this congregation. But as we step into 2026, I believe the Lord wants us to lift our sights beyond survival mode. Hello? I don't want to just be a prepper. I don't want to just be a survivor. I want to live in that able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or what? Ask or think. Listen, church, it's time to believe an extraordinary God for extraordinary things to do in our life. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. Extraordinary doesn't mean flashy. Some people think it means flashy. I got something, if I can find it here for just a moment. Can I read? No, do I? No. I said no to that pig drill, Gary. Extraordinary means God's going to show up in ways that only he can show up. Let me tell you what extraordinary means. It means beyond the common course of things. It means beyond the common order. It means remarkable, uncommon, and rare. That's extraordinary, the God that we're serving. I could read it like this. God is able to do extraordinary things to those when we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move beyond the ordinary to the extraordinary. Amen. We have been stuck in ordinary so long that it's almost like we need a tow truck to come and unstick us. Well, honey, I'm your tow truck today. I'm your tow truck. I'm going to pull this church out of the normal, out of the complacency, out of just getting by and get to a place where God can do extraordinary things in our life. I'm here to get you out of the ditch today. throughout the scripture. God has always shown himself to do extraordinary things. And you know what? That's all we've got to go on is the scripture, right? We read in the Bible where God was always doing extraordinary things. How many remembers that when Moses came up to the Red Sea, that wasn't just a little bitty natural thing, right? That was an extraordinary event that caused the waters to part and Moses to walk over and 3.5 million people on dry ground. Sometimes I wonder, Dwayne, if the miracle wasn't the dry ground more than the parting of the sea. Because it'd been underwater. That ground had been underwater for so forever. And now all of a sudden, these guys are walking across on dry ground because one wind came through and blew the sea back. Amen. How many remembers even when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, an extraordinary God did extraordinary things like feeding them extraordinary food? And sometimes they even griped about what he gave them, like some of us today. And then God gave them something else to eat until it was coming out every orifice in their body. He gave them so much. But listen, there was no food anywhere. But the Bible says that our extraordinary God provided manna to fall from heaven. How about the stone, Roy, that was rolled away on that Easter Sunday morning? That was an extraordinary God rolling away the stone so that he could make provision for us to have the extraordinary life. Now, Isaiah 43:19 says, behold, I will do a what? A new thing, and it shall, not maybe, could be, might, it shall spring forth. And some of us aren't even going to know it because we're still looking backwards. Come on now. I'm expecting breakthroughs this year. I'm expecting, Luke, I'm expecting breakthroughs in this 21-day prayer fast. Boy, I think I just lost a few nods, didn't I? Some of you were nodding like this a moment ago. Now you stop nodding. There's going to be some breakthroughs in this 21-day fast. I'm telling you, church, we're not wasting our time. There's going to be breakthrough in finances. I believe there's going to be some breakthrough in some strained relationships. There's going to be some breakthroughs in some people's lives that you have been waiting for. Some of you have been fighting the good fight of faith for healing. How many knows this could be the very thing it takes to get you to enjoy your breakthrough? If you believe that, shout amen this morning. Amen. God's blessings are often new. Sometimes they're even unexpected. And I know they are unpredictable, but how many knows they always serve a purpose? God's blessings on us is not so that we can say, look at us. I told you a while ago, extraordinary does not mean flashy. Extraordinary simply means beyond common. And I believe God wants to do some extraordinary things, extraordinary blessings to his people. Now, how many knows that God will always respond to faith? I wish I was back there teaching that class on faith on that Sunday morning, because that's one of my favorite subjects. Jesus said in Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen? Be it unto you. Now, I saw something. Oh, yeah, I wrote it down. How many knows that faith is elastic? Faith is like a rubber band, and when you pull it apart, you stretch it, right? When you're using it, it's stretching it. But if you're not using it, how many knows it just comes back together and is good for nothing? A rubber band lying on the table is good for nothing. But when you use it, you begin to stretch it. What did you say to me earlier, Roy? Stored energy. A rubber band has stored energy. I told him that was too deep for me because I'm just a preacher. He's the engineer. But stored energy. And you begin to pull on that rubber band and begin to stretch that. How many knows that there's a constant pull to come back together? In your faith walk, there will always be that constant pull to let up just a little bit. Come on, church. There will always be that tendency to say, well, I'm going to take a break. Faith is like that rubber band that constantly, you got to keep stretching it. It's like those cords that you exercise with. You got to keep using it. Extraordinary faith. Thank God this church was never meant to be an ordinary church. Amen. Better amen. Amen. I believe that God wants us to be extraordinary in everything we do at Solid Rock. We need to get out there and begin to be a launching pad for God instead of a religious assembly. Oh, did that go over good? I don't believe God ever intended us for us to be just a religious assembly. But we need to be a launching pad for God to send us out to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible. So I believe that God is calling us this morning to step up. Step up, step out, and let's begin to believe God for things that before we might have thought was impossible. Listen, if it's possible, you don't need faith. If you can do it, you don't need God. Hello? We need God. And I believe 2026, God wants some of you to start dreaming again. I don't care if you're 77 years old, Gary. We need to start believing again. Start dreaming again. Listen, as long as you and I are still breathing, we ought to be dreaming. And that includes all you younger people also. We need to start dreaming again. Got to, you know, step it up. Amen. Okay, God blesses. Now get this, because this is going to eliminate all the selfishness in the blessing that God has for you. God blesses extraordinarily for kingdom purposes. Your blessings are for kingdom purposes. I refer once again to the scripture, what God said to Abraham. I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. I can't pay somebody else's electric bill if I can't pay my electric bill. So when God blesses me to pay my electric bill and I got some left over, then I can help somebody do their electric bill. Come on, church. We'll be flooded with phone calls tomorrow, Tiffany. This is good. I said, this is good. Genesis 12, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. You know what God blessing a church means? People are being born again. People are coming down to the altar. People are getting refreshed from the Lord. People are enjoying the presence of the Lord. Darlene said a while ago about, you know, rejoicing in the Lord and being glad in the Lord and all that. And I was thinking, you know, when the temple was dedicated, when Solomon dedicated the temple that took so long to build, there was so much rejoicing in that house. There was so much praising going forth that as they began, the priests could not even stand to minister because the glory of God fell on that house. And the people, all they could do was just worship God. I'm looking forward, Trent, to the day when God just shows up in a supernatural manifestation like He did at Brownsville on that Father's Day back in 19-whatever, and we experience the presence of God that we can't even get up and preach or talk. We just, the presence of God. To say anything would be like to pollute the atmosphere. Can I hear a good amen? Communities are transformed. The brokenhearted find hope. I believe extraordinary blessings produces extraordinary ministry. You might want to write that down. Extraordinary blessings causes extraordinary ministry. God doesn't just want to increase you. Doesn't just want to multiply for you. He doesn't want you just to God wants us to, He wants to enrich us so that we can reach our block. We can reach our community. We can be a blessing to our local church. You know, we've got people in this church, it has been a great blessing to this local church. And I thank God for those that are so well. I mentioned 2 weeks ago something about, get ready, church. We're going to get some estimates on a new carpet. We've had this carpet for how many years, Tiffany? How many years, Dwayne? 30 what? 30 years, the same carpet in here. We've got stains that'll never come out. Sometimes it looks like, you know, it's messy and can't clean it. And when we get ready to pull it up, if you want some of it, you can have it. But this, you might want to do your basement. But anyway, I just mentioned, you know, in 2026, we will be getting new carpet in this place. And do you know that there was a family in the church told me immediately, just right after that, we want to give the first 1,000. I mean, I didn't even have to receive an offering. Somebody said, that's the way we ought to respond. When you hear that there's a project or we hear that there's a need, you get to be the, and I know you're not looking for first place, but you're so quick to respond because of that spirit of generosity. I'll give, well, you know what? Somebody else said, I'll give the second 1,000. We've already got the ball rolling and haven't even talked much about it. Now, I'm not taking donations this morning, but if the Lord lays upon your heart, those that are watching by, okay. Every extraordinary move of God starts with an act of obedience. Did you hear that? Can I say it again? Every extraordinary move of God starts with just a simple act of obedience. When God spoke to Noah, he said, hey, boy, I want you to build me an ark. How many of us, he could have argued with God for 40 days and 40 nights. Amen? He could have just said, what's an ark? What's rain, you know? How about when Peter stepped out of the boat? There was no precedent to that. There was no, when Noah was told to build the ark, he couldn't look back in earlier chapters of Genesis and say, well, I can do it like somebody else, like Adam did, you know? He had no references. All he had was the word of God. Some of you looking for references, some of you looking for a testimony, and God's saying, I want you to do this. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he couldn't flip back to the book of Jeremiah and see where Jeremiah walked on water. He had to just step out on pure, unadulterated faith. How about when the disciples were told to go fill the jars with water? Nobody serves water at a wedding. They'd already drank all the wine, but yet when they went and filled those water pots, it came back as wine. And they said, oh man, you're a great host. You saved the best wine until last. Let them get drunk on the old wine first. Come on, church. I'm doing better preaching than some of you are waving your hands at me. You remember Jesus said, whatever he says, do it. That's a powerful statement, Dwayne. Whatever he says, do it. Jesus is still saying that same word today. The word of God continues. It doesn't get old. It's living. So today, Jesus is saying, whatever I say, do it. Okay. Extraordinary grace. Extraordinary favor. Extraordinary. How many knows it? The miracles don't come from the shout. It comes from stepping out. Oh, did that rhyme? It did. That's not in my notes, but it sounds good. Let's try that again. The miracle doesn't come from the shout. It comes from stepping out. It comes from the obedience to what God's told you to do. You know where we have a hard time is right up here. Well, did God really tell me that, or is that just my brain? No, honey, it's not your brain. You're not that smart, okay? Is that maybe that's the devil, Darlene, telling me to empty out my account? No, oh no, the devil's never going to tell you to give anything to the church or for kingdom purposes. Never. He's not for anything that advances the kingdom of God. It's good preaching this morning. So why don't we shout this, or just listen to this. We'll shout it after a while. Extraordinary favor, extraordinary provision, extraordinary unity. I like this last one, Darlene. Darlene's pumped and ready to go. She might talk about this next week, and I thought, well, if I can get the jump on her, maybe I can mess her sermon up. Extraordinary harvest. Everybody say extraordinary harvest. Listen, don't expect a harvest if you haven't planted the seed. If you've not been good to anybody, why should you expect a harvest of somebody being good to you? If you can't greet somebody and say hello, how do you expect somebody to greet you and say hello? Church, your pastor is trying to preach something to you that's going to change your life in 2026. So I read this scripture. Did I give you this scripture in Amos? Okay, I didn't. Okay. It's Amos 9:13, and I think I'm reading from the Living Bible. And Darlene, God woke up Darlene and gave her a word, and I hope she preaches this real soon. But the scripture says, and I'll try not to preach on it, babe. I just want to read the scripture. The time is coming. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. You want to meditate that for a minute? The sower the sower is going to overtake the harvester, is what King James says, because there's so much harvest to gather that it's already another season of sowing, and the sower's on your heels, and you're still gathering from the last. Come on. That's what the Bible says. The time is coming. Well, let's declare the time is coming. Let's declare the time is here, that the harvester is going to be overtaken by the sower. And then the terraced vineyards of the hills of Israel will drip with new wine. The illustration there is like streams that run from the mountains and they run down into the valley. There's streams, little places all over the mountain where water runs. He's saying that it's going to be such a bountiful, plentiful time that the wine's even going to run down the rivers like water. Listen to this from the Message Bible. Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. Anybody want to bite that one? You want to take a bite of that? Things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of another. You will not be able to keep up. Everything will happen at once and everywhere you look. Blessings, blessings, blessings. That's the word of the Lord, Jeff. Anybody want to receive that word today? Oh, God can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. So my sermonette to you this morning is, why don't we get ourselves positioned for the extraordinary? You've got to be under the spout where the water comes out to get wet, right? Well, you got to be under the spout where the glory's at in order to get what God's got for you. So let's get ready. Amen. I want to admonish you. Get ready. Position yourself for 2026. The question is not, can God do it? The question is, will we believe him for it? Might want to jot that down. The question is not, will God do it? The question is, will we believe him for it? Am I boring anybody? Just say yes if you are, and I'll continue. Ephesians 3 also says, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Say this with me. Lord, stretch my faith. Come on, shout it out. Expand our vision. Say it out loud. Expand our vision. Prepare us, Lord, for what you're about to do. I'm ready, Lord. All right. In 1 Kings chapter 17, it's a good story. We all know it. We've all heard it. We've all preached it probably to somebody. But in 1 Kings chapter 17, remember the story where Elijah had prophesied that there was not going to be any rain for 7 years? So let's look at this for just a moment. It's going to be good. Then the Lord said to Elijah, verse 2, the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kerith Brook near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the... Say it out loud, Dolores. Eat what the what? Eat what the ravens bring you. For I have commanded them to bring you food, bread, and meat. Notice he says here, the word said, go find the brook, and I've got some dirty birds, some unclean birds that's going to take care of you. Now, I know, John, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's people in this church right now that's probably not going to enjoy raven food. You will starve before you eat. Do you know what? To a hungry man, anything looks good. There are some things that I can't stand to smell, certain foods I don't like to eat, but I guarantee you, if I was hungry, I mean really hungry, Boomer, I would probably say, give it to me. And we got some people that, oh, I'm not touching that dirty bird. How many knows God can bring blessings through dirty birds? Hey, you know that dirty old boss you got? God can use that dirty old boss to bring you blessings. He may be the farthest thing from a Christian, but God can use him to bless you. We got to get our eyes off of people and get our eyes on God. He said, I've commanded the birds, what do they call those kind of birds that eat everything? Scavengers. They're scavenger birds. I've commanded the scavenger birds to go pick up the roadkill or chariot kill and bring it to you. and you will be sustained. And you know what? The Bible doesn't say that Elijah left there because the birds stopped bringing the food. He stopped. He had to move on because the brook dried up. We better go on. So Elijah, verse 5, Elijah did as the Lord told him. He camped by the brook east of Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat every morning and every evening. I'm afraid some folks in the church would have starved. And he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up. There was no rainfall in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live. Everybody say live. In the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon, I've underlined this in my Bible. I want you to see this. I have instructed a widow to feed you. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. Notice, she had the word of the Lord before Elijah got there. Listen closely. Don't miss this. She had the word of the Lord. I've commanded a widow woman. I've already commanded her to take care of you when you get there. He arrived. He went to Zarephath. He arrived at the gates of the village, and he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little cup of water? As she was going to get it, he said, you know what? My belly's been growling for the last few days. I think I'd like to have a little cake also. She said, I swear. Well, this is interesting. This is a good, interesting part. I swear by the Lord your God. Notice she did not have a connection with God. God came to her and already said, I want you to bake a cake for the man of God. But she does not have that connection with God because she said, I swear by the Lord, your God. He's not my God. He's your God. Catch that. Catch that little nugget. We'll come back to that in just a moment. She said, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. All I have is a handful. Now, I was studying this and trying to figure out how much a handful is, and a handful is just about a fistful. You know, that's the average fist, the average handful. That's about, it'll make a cake about the size of a coffee saucer. That's what I found out. You see, I dig for these, man, I work for these things. Now, it may not mean much to you, but a little saucer of bread's not much. And she said, I'm going to eat this last cake for me and I and my son, and then my son and I are going to what? They're going to die. We're going to die. We have a saucer-sized cake or piece of bread, actually. We have a saucer-sized piece of flatbread, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. How many know she had eat and die vision? I said she had eat and die vision. But Elijah said, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do what you said, but make it for me first. Isn't that just like a preacher? Give it to me first. Then use what's left. How many of God will honor, he will always honor your first. Now, this is not a tithing message. This is not, but I can't help but remind you that when you honor God first, he'll always have plenty left over for you. By the way, let me just throw this in. The meal barrel never did fill up. It never did fill up. She got it off the bottom every day, every day. You know what that did? That kept her faith working, didn't it? It kept her faith believing God. Well, you know, I've only got a little bit in the bottom, but I'm going to keep scraping. It never did say that her barrel got full. Some of you waiting for your barrel to get full, and God says, just scrape it. Just keep scraping off. My supply will last forever. Well, I gave God 10% and all I got left 90. 90's not going to go far enough. Just keep scraping off the bottom. Just keep giving God his part. And you watch and see if that 90% won't go further than it would have if you had kept 100%. Missed a good chance to say amen. Amen. This is what the God of Israel says, verse 14. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time the Lord sends the rain. Notice Elijah says, fear not. I want to ask you a question this morning. Where does fear manifest? Fear will always manifest on the screen of your mind, right up here. I don't have enough. I will never have enough. I'm going to die. My vision is eat and die. That's what we're going to do. I can see on the screen of my mind. She's already seen it in her imagination, Dwayne. And that's why Elijah had to say, fear not, because fear had painted a picture in her mind that she only had enough to eat one meal, piece of bread, and die. I don't know about you, but when I go eat bread, I need more than a saucerful. How about you? That's all she had. She was going to eat that saucer-sized bread and die. I'm here this morning to stimulate your mind. I want you to see that God is bigger than the lie that the devil has painted for you in your mind. And that's the only area the devil has to work in, is our mind. The area of our mind is the battleground. It's where the battles are fought. Listen, that's why it's so important to hang around people and watch who you allow in your life that say the right things in your life. Amen? Before Elijah showed up, her meal barrel was slowly diminishing. She's going to die and she's going to eat. I'm going to eat and I'm going to die. She said, the Lord, your God. Now listen, she had no connection with God. I wonder if God places us in strategic places in life to help people make a connection with God. I wonder if God sent Elijah to Zarephath, not to eat bread and water, but to help this woman get a fresh connection to Almighty God. Think about it. I said before, Jesus crossed the sea to go over to a demon-possessed man, cast the devil out of him, and came all the way back, to where he was started. And the only reason he made that trip, the only reason he went through that storm that almost killed the disciples, was because there was a man on the other side that needed deliverance. That's the only reason he went. He didn't stay and preach a revival. He didn't win a whole lot of other people. Now, the man that got delivered went out and won a bunch of people, but Jesus went all the way across there for one man. I wonder, it just hit me. Maybe God sent Elijah to Zarephath for one woman to help her get a fresh connection with God. Because I believe as she kept dipping, she kept thinking, dear God, this is a God that cares about me. This is a God that's not going to let my meal barrel go empty. There's enough oil in this jar. It's never going to run dry. God's taking care of me. Listen, I don't know if you're scraping the bottom of the barrel or if you're living off the top of the barrel, but listen, just remember, it's God that supplies your needs. It's God that puts it in the meal barrel. It takes a whole lot less faith to live on the top of the barrel than it does at the bottom of the barrel. Amen. You want more? Stop talking. You're going to eat your last meal. Stop talking. You're going to die. Turn it off. I want to speak life to you. You and your son's going to live. That meal barrel is not going to be wasted. Stop listening to what the devil's telling you. That's his specialty. The greatest tool that the devil has for us believers is fear. We get this image on our mind, and it's stuck there. It's frozen there. You ever see the word buffering on your TV when you're streaming or on your device? You see the word buffering. You know what it means? It's stuck right there for a while. Sometimes our minds are buffering, and all we see is fear, fear. Well, what if the devil's telling the truth this time? Or what if God's not going to come through this time? What if God's not faithful this time? Are you with me? Elijah wanted to fix her. He didn't want her to just fix a meal for him. He wanted to fix her. Let me give you one more point. Oh, it's not even 11:30. Let me give you four or five more. You know, every story that's in the Bible generally has a hook, doesn't it? It's not there just as a history lesson. It's not just there for good reading. It's there to hook you into believing, if God did it for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll surely do it for me. If God did it for Peter, James, and John, surely he'll do it for me. If God did it for Oral Roberts, or if God did it for whoever, you know, he'll do it for me as well. Because he's no respecter of persons. Mark 5:21. This is good stuff, Pastor. Yeah, thank you for encouraging me. Verse 21, Jesus got into the boat again. He went to the other side of the lake, and there was a large crowd gathered around him. Then a leader from the local synagogue named Jairus arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading with him fervently. He said, "My daughter, my little daughter is dying. Please come home. Please come with me and lay your hands on her so that she can live." And the Bible says Jesus just dropped everything and he went with him, and everybody followed, crowding around him. Now, you know the rest of the story, right? While he was on his way to Jairus' house, there was a woman that stopped him. She had been plagued with a sickness for 12 years. She stopped Jesus in his tracks. And the Bible said while all that was going on, that this woman actually got healed. She was healed of that condition. And in the middle of that, here comes somebody from the leader of the synagogue's house and says, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter has already died." Remember the story? She's already died. Don't trouble the master. Well, I love what Jesus said, or what the word says in the Amplified Bible. It says, overhearing but ignoring. He heard what the messenger said, but he ignored, because he had a vision inside of him that he was going to raise that girl, even if she had died. He would raise her from the bed of affliction or raise her from the dead. It's no difference for him. It don't take more power for him to do one or the other. Amen. And so Jairus had a perfect opportunity for fear to come into his heart when he heard, "Don't trouble the master. Your daughter has already died." They had that already died vision, didn't they? They had this vision of no hope. I want to say something to everybody that's listening to me today. Whenever your imagination envisions a great victory, you see, this leader of the synagogue had Jesus by his side walking towards his house. He had a vision. My daughter is going to be raised up off that deathbed. She's going to be totally healed. I can see it. Jesus is walking with me. I have no doubt she's going to be healed. He had this vision of victory. But listen, whenever your imagination envisions a great victory, somewhere in the near future, the bad news is going to come to try to dash that imagination. Or could I say dash your faith? Could I say shake your faith? Get you to give up. Even though the Lord is walking beside you. Now, here's the key. Are you going to accept that thought? Are you going to accept that image? Are you going to accept what everybody else is saying? Or are you just going to keep your hand to Jesus and say, "Let's just keep going. I believe everything's going to be okay." Say this with me. I got a feeling. Everything is going to be okay. Hold to his unchanging hand. Some of you don't remember that song, but the song says, "I will hold to God's unchanging hand." A couple of points. Number one, he never changes. He's walking beside me. I've got him by the hand. He can't get away from me. We're going together, and we're going to see this thing through together. Are you with me this morning? You know, the devil will attack your mind immediately. I could give a word of prophecy to somebody here this morning, and you just get so set free. But on your way home, you say, "Well, Brother Rhodes already knew about my condition. He was just speaking from common knowledge." And there you go. The devil has blocked that vision. He has put you in fear or unbelief, so you're not going to receive. Good preaching, Pastor. Well, we know the story. He said, "Don't be afraid, only believe," right? Don't be afraid, only believe. I want to tell you today, don't be afraid. 2026 will have challenges. I promise you. Some of you are going to go through 26 much better than you did 25. But I'm going to tell you, there will be some challenges. But don't be afraid. Just keep believing. Remember that message that Pastor preached on the last Sunday of 2025. Don't be afraid. Just keep believing. By the way, it's not up to you anyway. It's up to God, right? Okay, I've got to hurry. Extraordinary. Something that man can't do, but something that God can do. Do you know God has the ability to change the natural laws, if necessary, to get you what you're believing for? He can. If I were to step off this floor, if I were to step off here, I'm just wondering if I see my red socks. No. Did you get that on camera? Now I lost where I was at. God can defy that. If I were to step off of here, do you know that if he wanted to, he could defy the laws of gravity to protect me? Timothy says, but he won't. I'll just break my leg. He could. You might not see it, but there may be an angel just whoosh in here and get under me and cushion my fall. And we'd say, God kept him from hurting himself. He defied the laws of gravity. Somehow, Brother Rhodes went down slowly. Listen, I want to give you a scripture in the Bible where God defied the natural laws of nature to get his mission accomplished. Would you go with me to the book of Joshua? Oh, I'll tell you what, let's don't read it for sake of time. Let me just paraphrase it, okay? In Joshua 10, the Amorites had been unleashed upon the children of Israel. There was just a slew of them come in, and Israel was totally outnumbered, and the children of Israel looked like they were going to lose. But Joshua was thinking, you know, if we just had a little more time. Remember the story, you know where I'm going, right? He was thinking, if I just had a little more time. If I just had a little more daylight. I bet some of you thought about that, cutting your grass in the summertime at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you're thinking, if I just had another hour of light, I could finish this job. Israel is losing the battle. Israel is outnumbered. Israel are fighting against God-haters. Listen, God-haters, people that just abhorred God, didn't want anything to do with God. They were the enemy of God, and here's God's children, the little bunch of Jews, Israelites, if you would, standing against this great army. And so Joshua decided, you know what? I'm just going to speak to God about this, because if I just had some more sunshine. Anyway, the Bible says that Joshua commanded the sun and the moon to stand still. Now, if you want to tear me apart theologically and says the sun doesn't move, it's the earth that moves, try it, because I have a word for you. That's all they knew back in that day. They were operating under the knowledge they had. They didn't know the earth was spinning and the sun was standing still. We still say to this day, oh, the sun's coming up. Huh? Oh, the sun's going down. Don't we say that? Come on, church, say amen if you say that. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. No, it don't. The earth turns. So don't be judging Joshua or judging the Bible and say, oh, that's all a fallacy because the sun don't stand still. I'll tell you what did. God affected the entire universe. Not just Joshua and his little group of people. The entire universe came to a halt because one man said, we need some more sunshine. Don't tell me that God won't defy the laws of nature for your victory. Well, that old ex-husband I've got, he just never will leave me alone. He's always bringing division between me and the kids. And listen, don't get caught up in that stuff. God can stop the universe for you.
Amen? Amen.
God will stop the universe for you. He did it for Joshua, right? Now, I know all of you theologians out there are saying, well, he only did it once. How many times he got to do it to prove that he can do it? Huh? He proved it once. So all I'm saying is that the Bible says in verse 42 of Joshua 10, I love this verse of scripture, Joshua conquered all these kings and their land in a single campaign, for the Lord God of Israel was fighting for his people. And Joshua led them into the promised land. I'm going to tell you this again. God is for Israel. Come on, I need a shout. God is for Israel. I'll just go out on a limb and I'll say this. You better stop and watch what you say when you say, go Palestinians, from the river to the sea, you go Palestinians. Let me tell you something. God is for the Israelites. God is for those Jews. God is for the nation of Israel. Go Hamas. Go Hamas. Yeah, come on Hamas. You better watch it. You're liable to find yourself with a head missing. God is pro-Israel. We're pro-Israel at this church. And if that offends you, then I'm sorry. We're going to stay pro-Israel. We support Israel every month of the year. We're going to continue to support Israel. But I'm telling you what, God proved his love by stopping the universe. I want the worship team to join me on the stage today. I have no idea where you're going to go with this, but I will be glad to see. In 2 Kings, there's a story about a woman that needed some oil. Notice how God deals with oil a lot. And Elisha said to her, go borrow all the empty vessels that you can find. Go find them. And he said that I'm going to fill them up. Fill them up. Listen, there was nothing extraordinary about that woman's little jar of oil. But when she began pouring, God took that little bit. And she poured, and she poured, and she poured, and she poured. I don't think the Bible says how many vessels she poured into. But that was a supernatural movement of God to demonstrate that he wants to do extraordinary things. Amen. Notice God didn't ask her what she doesn't have. What do you have in your house? God doesn't ask you for something you don't have. But he might ask you, what do you have in the house? Okay. The miracle did not stop because God ran out. It stopped because there was no more capacity to receive. You're thinking, aren't you? The oil didn't stop because God quit. The oil stopped because she had no more empty vessels to pour into. What's my point? I believe God's looking for a church that will bring empty vessels. Yeah, empty vessels. How about this? Empty schedules. Empty expectations, and let him fill them with extraordinary things. Let God fill your cup today. Let God fill your oil jar today. Mark chapter 4, the seed is so small. It's a mustard seed. It's so small, just one little seed, so small. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the smallest seed, but it'll turn into one of the biggest, largest plants. Extraordinary harvest begins, listen, with ordinary faithfulness. These one-liners today are just beyond. I just need to remember every one of these. Don't ever estimate what God can do with what seems insignificant. Your prayer, your getting up at 5 o'clock every morning for 21 days to come to the church and pray. Don't think that God's not watching. Don't think that God doesn't reward your efforts, your service. You see, God multiplies when we release it into His hand. Amen? If you would stand to your feet with me this morning, just want to lead you in a confession. Luke will know this. Dwayne will know this. Lou and Tiff will know this. Very few people will know what I'm about to say. There was times, guys, that we looked at the church finances and there was nothing. I mean nothing. There's been times that we've had special called staff meetings, Luke, where we said we're at the bottom. We don't know what to do. What shall we do? You see, we don't have a product to sell to earn your sales. You know what we have? Your simple faithfulness to God in giving. This church runs off of your gifts. And sometimes when you'd had to dismiss a service for snow, there might be $300 or $400 come in the offering for that week. So every time it snowed, of course, Pastor got nervous because we knew the bills didn't get snowed out. There's been times that it seemed impossible to fill this church. Seemed times it was impossible to pay our bills. I'm telling you what, God always came through. He always came through. There was a lot of sacrifice. We put out a memo. Do not buy paper clips. Do not buy rubber bands. Do not buy pens. I mean, it was that strict. Sometimes we don't have enough, but we have God. And God is always more than enough. There's been times in this last year that we struggled financially. But God. You know what? You didn't see me sell my house, tuck tail, and run and find another church that was paying a little better than this one was. And I could find a church, absolutely. I'm associated with the organizations that got churches everywhere all over the United States. I could find another, but I just decided I'm going to stick it out. I'm stubborn. I mean, if I can stay 50 years, surely I can stay 51 years, 52 years. Now, when y'all start quit coming because I get so old, then I'll get the message and step aside. But as long as you're still coming, I'm here. God is faithful. Can I tell you that God did extraordinary things during those days of leanness? Some way, somehow, we would get an unexpected gift to the church from people that don't even attend the church. Just that I felt God speak to me and tell me to send you this money. Sometimes people in the church would get blessed. Maybe there just something would happen and they would get blessed and they'd say, Pastor, we want to bless the church with the tithe of this blessing. Listen, folks, God always comes through. And that's why these things used to freeze in my mind, Steve. These images would freeze in my mind. Is it ever going to get better? Is it going to stay like this? Buffer, buffer, buffer. 5%, 10%, 11%, 12%. It just takes forever. But I'm telling you what, God always comes through. If you have a fear of tithing because you think you're not going to have enough, let God's eraser take that off of your mind and begin to see that God wants to do more with your 90%. There's too many testimonies
from here all the way across here, too many testimonies where God honors those who honor him. Take that little bitty mustard seed. It's not much. But God can multiply it and cause it to be one of the biggest trees around. Amen? I wrote this down. I've got to share it with you. God's provision doesn't follow spreadsheets. It follows faith. God's provision doesn't follow spreadsheets. It follows faith. I was at the jewelry store the other day looking to buy my wife something for Christmas, and somebody came in and said, they're from First State Bank. I said, is Matt still over there as president? He said, yeah, he's still there for a little bit. And I said, well, would you give Matt a message for me? Because back when we banked with First State Bank, every week, was it every Monday morning or every once a month? What was it, honey? Often. Well, it was often. Often times often. And she'd go down to the bank and she'd talk to the vice president, Dan Rollins. She'd say, Dan, I don't know what we're going to do. We just don't have enough to pay our church payment to do what, you know. And he'd say, oh, that's okay, hon. That's okay. Just do what you can. We'll work with you. And for years, it was like that. Years. One of the guys came up to me one time in the bank, and he said, well, you know, you could help the church a lot if you would sell your car and give the money to the church. And I'm sure you got some things around your house that you could sell and help the church. And I thought, you rascal. Not that I wasn't willing, and not that I hadn't already done that a few times, but God always comes through. All I want you to hear from me today is God always comes through, and God's wanting to do some extraordinary things in your life in 2026. All we got to do is stretch that rubber band. When you quit believing, it goes back. Keep stretching. Keep stretching. Keep stretching. Your faith won't break, I promise. I want you to say this with me. I have a confession here somewhere I want you to say with me. Would you be willing just to hold one hand up to heaven just to honor God as we say this? Lord, I believe and I receive extraordinary blessings. I'm not going to cancel out this word from our pastor. I believe God will do more than I can ask, imagine, or expect. I declare extraordinary faith, extraordinary favor, and extraordinary fruit. I step beyond the ordinary into God's abundance, power, and purpose. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord this morning. You said in the book of Psalms that you sent your word and healed. Father, my desire today is that I preached the word, and it brought healing to our minds, healing to our faith, healing to our believer that's inside of us, healing to everything that's blocking out the goodness and the faithfulness of our Father God. Thank you, Father, for this word. I believe it is forever settled in heaven today. Devil, you will not rob us of the vision. You will not rob us of the victory. You will not rob us of those things that God has spoken to us in the past, present, or future. We stand upon the word of God, and we stretch our faith, and we keep it expanded out there, and we just believe. We believe. Can you say, I believe? Can you say, I believe this word today? I'm being set free. 2026. Good things are coming our way. Good things are coming our way. Go ahead, Dylan.
Just one word.
Just one word.
You calm the storm that surrounds
peace.
Me.
Peace. Be still.
just one word.
Yes.
And the darkness has to retreat.
Sometimes all he has to do is look in our direction. Just look.
Just one touch.
Oh yeah, one touch.
I feel the presence of heaven.
Just one touch.